This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Kriegt immer viele Fragen jetzt, vor allem jetzt in den ersten, sag ich mal, letzten 24 Stunden von den ganzen Mitspielern auch. Muss ein bisschen viel erklären zurzeit, rund um München alles. Nee, aber es ist super cool, wieder hier zu sein. Ist top für mich, den Jungs so ein bisschen die Stadt zu zeigen.
There's only one player who could do that for the Sabres today, and that was J.J. Paterka. And the smile means the level of energy and positivity that typically comes out of his mouth was very much on display in his homeland.
No, he's obviously excited, and I just think of if I had the chance to play a preseason game in Quebec City, you know, that would have been fun, but this is even more different. It's overseas. It's in a different country, different continent. And he basically said, and my Google Translate was not good on this, so I basically got help from the our control room, is that Munich is super cool, and to be back and show the boys a bit of the city, it'll be fun. So that's basically the gist of it. He also talked about how he and his family used to go to the Red Bull game, the Munich game, all the time. It would be in the stands. So to play against his old team is going to be exciting and fun. So, you know, there's one guy that can be speaking German right now, and that's him. But hopefully guys pick up a little German, because when I went to Finland, I picked up a little Finnish. When you travel, you pick up a little something, but did not travel to Germany much.
Is this further proof that speaking in languages that are not English, that it is harder to economize words? Because if your translation is correct, that was a very short description of a long answer. And dare I say, Marty, we often feel this when talking with you. So does
nothing more than when Rocky IV, he beats Drago, and then he's being, you know, he's giving the speech and the Russian translator translate, and he says a long paragraph, and the Russian translator goes da 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 da, and that's it. It was like it was a 5-minute speech that got translated in five Russian words. But yes,
all right. In my ongoing quest to avoid the final four teams of the day here on Sabres Live, I'm going to present to you some German-born Sabre trivia.
Okay.
How many German-born skaters have the Sabres had in franchise history? JJ included.
JJ included. I'm going, I say three.
Unofficially, of course, because I don't have the ability to go through every possible source. So I'm using NHL.com.
Yes.
Nine?
German. Okay.
Yes. Would you like to start naming some of them?
I can name Jochen Hecht. I can name...
Jochen is the scoring leader in Sabres history among German-born players. 345 points in 613 games.
Okay. Well, good for Yo-Yo. JJ. Yo-Yo and then JJ Paterka, that's two. Uwe Krupp?
That's three.
That's three. Tobias Rieder?
That's four.
That's four. Christian Ehrhoff?
That's five.
Okay. I said three, but I'm able to name five. Like, figure it out. My squirrel brain, my doggy squirrel brain.
Keep going. I have his gloves from a sale at the Sabres store.
I have his gloves from a sale at the Sabres store.
Within the last 6 years.
I don't know.
Alexander Seltzer.
Oh, Seltzer. Okay. That would have been number 9 probably on my list, but okay.
Oh, you're not going to get the other ones. So.
So I'm out of it.
No, yeah, no, there's one. There's one. And I always present this as he has the highest points per game for any Sabre who played less than 9 games in franchise history.
Okay, I don't know.
He had 4 points in 6 games. His name is Dominic Cahoon. And oh, yes. If memory serves, he scored in the shootout in his final ever game as a Sabre. COVID hit, and we never saw Dominic.
Well, Dominic Cahoon had a very high qualifying offer and could have gone to arbitration. So the Sabres decided not to qualify and offer him, and then he just walked away. So that was a surprise when he wasn't retained on qualifying offer, but I understand why.
He had 4 points in 6 games as a Sabre. The others are Ron Fisher and Jason Holland. Now, you obviously would remember Jason from...
He's a Canadian-German.
Correct.
But yes.
Yes, he's actually... So this is funny. Because he pops up on the NHL list, but if you click on his bio, it says he was born in Morinville, Alberta.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he had dual citizenship or
of
whatnot.
Of course, so but Canadian, it's not, German, but. You know what I mean? Like, this is why you can only play this game to a certain level, because depending on the source that you use.
They also sometimes will use like European born or European trained.
Because trained, sometimes which was the whole Stan Mikita thing years ago when he was presented as, you know, the great Czech trained. But it's like, no, what? But he's not like Jager, you know, like
but he played for Canada and the, Canada Cup or Summit Series or whatnot.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
so that's a little bit different.
So there's
I have
your German
a trick question for you.
Oh,
which
yes,
German
please.
Goaltender played for the Rochester Americans in the Spindler Cup without having being a Rochester Amherst? He was not an Amherst. He just went over for the Spindler Cup.
When was this?
That had to be 96, 95,
okay,
96.
So hang on. He was German?
Yes, he's technically a German goaltender.
But he wasn't playing for the Amherst at the time. Did he ever play for the Amherst?
I don't believe he did.
Did he play in the NHL?
Yes.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life. But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
He played many years in the NHL.
Give me one team he played for in the NHL.
The Washington Capitals.
Oh, Kolzig.
Olaf Kolzig actually was playing for the Baltimore. Oh, he actually played 49 games for the Rochester Americans. Sorry. I thought it was just for the tournament, but he did. Like, see how I forget. Mm-hmm. In 92-93, he played for the Rochester Americans, then played Portland Pirates and then Washington Capitals. Yes.
But who was he drafted by?
He was drafted by the Washington Capitals 19th overall.
Why did he end up in Rochester?
Night draft.
That predates the change when they were sharing with Florida.
Oh, yes. Very
by
much
a lot.
So.
Yeah, no. So I'm blanking as to why he ended. It must have been alone that year, obviously.
It had to have been alone because that year they had Tom Draper played 5 games.
But Draper was up mostly with the Sabres that year. That was the year they lost to Boston. Draper was actually in that series in game 7.
Yes.
Sorry. Did you say 92-93 or 91-92?
I said 92-93.
Oh, say Draper played in the game 7 in 92. Of course, 93 was the Mayday with the sweep of Boston. Yeah.
But okay. Olaf Kolzig was, so he's been everywhere. Technically, he's a South African, Canadian, German, and everything.
Okay, we're stalling on Vancouver. I'm going to get there. There are two birthdays in Sabres history today. One has a Vancouver connection. Your teammate, Tony Lydman, 47 today. 371 games.
He's younger than me?
Yes,
Tony Lydman is younger than me.
And better looking, dare I say.
By two months.
371 regular season games as a Saber, 40 more in the postseason. Now, here's the Vancouver
Best
Buffalo.
Best backhand flip in the world, Tony Lundman. He had the straight height. Blade, and he used to flip it backhand, tried to hit the video scoreboard. I was going to say Jumbotron, but no, he tried to hit every video scoreboard in the league. That was Tony Lundman.
So the Buffalo-Vancouver connection has always been there because they came into the league at the same time. In 74-75, Buffalo's run to the Stanley Cup. Of course, early that season, the two recent expansion teams made a transaction that was very significant because Jerry Meehan and Mike Robitaille went to Vancouver, and Buffalo landed an outstanding defenseman in Jocelyn Gavremont, and they landed, born on this day, 72 years ago, Brian McSheffrey. Okay. Now, I had not... That name had never really registered with me in Sabres history. He only played three games with Buffalo in the October of that 74-75 season. Incredibly, he had a standout year the next year with the Buffalo Norsemen of the North American Hockey League. But he never had anything else in
his... He played in North Tonawanda.
Right.
That was like, and Bruce Boudreau actually played against the Norsemen in North Tonawanda. Bill Whipper was a young buck.
And he was talking about it last year.
$25 a game taking pictures for the Buffalo News.
Yeah, pretty wild. Anyway, so there's your Vancouver connection. McSheffrey started his career with Vancouver.
Wow.
Played less than 100 NHL games, but played three with the Sabres in 74-75.
That is definitely a squirrel type of like a segment right now with the direction we've gone.
Don't say I didn't warn you. I had a feeling that it was going to be like this today, and it has been. But it's also preseason, right? Like, so there's a lot of everything. And thank goodness we're not doing this with Shayna. Poor Shayna, we would just be, her brain would be exploding, but probably in the best way, because she'd be wanting to like add layers and layers and layers to everything we're talking about. Vancouver Canucks.
Yes.
Major impressive surge last year under Rick Tocchet. They've had a lot of change. Feel free to detail it. What do you expect from Vancouver this year?
Okay, well, their identity last year was that with Thatcher Demko in net, they scored almost one more goal per game than without him. Like, they were a free, we're confident in our goalie type of team, and they were sixth in scoring and fifth in goals against. So they had like good season with Besser 40 goals, Miller 100 plus points. But it all was off the confidence that Thatcher Demko really gives them. Demko missed most part of the playoffs. He got hurt in the first round and he's still not back. He has a very unique that no hockey players have ever had to deal with, like a muscle injury. I really don't know. He didn't give much details, but he's working his way back. But the Vancouver Canucks have Artur Shilovs, who played well last year when he had to. Was a bit of a surprise because they had Casey DeSmith last year. So no DeSmith this year. Artur Shilovs is there. And they signed Kevin Lankinen just as an insurance policy this year. So that's in the crease. Everywhere else, there's been a lot of change. No Elias Lidholm. No Nikita Zadorov. No Ilya Mikheyev. No Sam Lafferty. There's been a lot of change. They replaced those guys with DeBrusque, Denton Heinen, Daniel Sprong, Vincent Dernay, Derek Forbert. So, losing Lindholm, Zadorov, Mikheyev, in my opinion, is three big losses. Even though Mikheyev was, there's times, but I feel like that's three big losses for the Vancouver Canucks. Can DeBrusque, I like DeBrusque, but can DeBrusque, Sprong, Heinen, and Dernay be able to give them that level? It's still have to be seen, but, I think the Vancouver Canucks are a good team, but they're not the top of the, the division, in my opinion, right now. They finished first last year in that division. I don't think they're the top of the division right now.
They full credit, they did advance, but they barely got past Nashville in a series that I would say both teams regret how they played. Like, it was not the best hockey. Vancouver did what they had to, and obviously it was far more pronounced for them.
That series was like 30 right. between the two teams.
But Vancouver was already, as you said, already dealing with the loss of Demko.
Yeah.
So they were not themselves, and Vancouver or Nashville couldn't take advantage of that. And it was a very, very bizarre series. But amidst the core, you just talked about additions and departures. You have Brock Besser, who's had the blood clot issue, right? In the past, now he's entering the final year of his contract. Had two assists in the preseason opener.
Yeah.
Might Jonathan Lekkarimäki make the team? Because a lot of those other players up front, they weren't potentially impactful. What you're hoping is that when you have this kind of turnover as a good team, your farm system can replenish on the fly. Yes. So can they get a meaningful contribution from a rookie like Lekkarimäki? Philip Ronick has partnered perfectly with the now Norris Trophy winning Quinn Hughes.
Yes.
We saw Connor Garland and Dakota Joshua become incredibly impactful depth players for them last year. It was long expected for Garland. It was an incredible sight to see for Joshua, who is dealing with his own personal health issues that he's had to overcome.
Testicular cancer that correct. He had to have surgery, and he's so not.
This is a lot. Yet. This is a lot, isn't it? Like with the unknown of Demko and with challenging personal health issues from big name players and expectations in a market where they feel a long ways removed from game 7 loss to Boston in 2011. You know, like it was a long road back just to get into the playoffs last year for Vancouver. So this is a fascinating team to really dive deep on, and whether you think they can be close to what they posted last year in the regular season or whether it was a blip and you think they might go the other way. I don't think you sense that.
I don't think they're going to go the other way, but I don't think they're going to end up with 109 points like they did last year and be top five or top seven in goals for, goals against. I think this is going to be a bit more challenging for Rick Tocchet and his staff to be able to send Vancouver the right direction. But look at the Pacific Division. The Edmonton Oilers, in my opinion, are the top team in that division. So the Oilers should slide up. The LA Kings, the Vegas Golden Knights should have their say. And like, I'm thinking Vancouver could easily be battling for a playoff spot by the end of the year.
I agree.
Just be fourth in the Pacific and hope to get in. That's where Vancouver was first last year in the Pacific, third in the West. I think they dropped from third in the West to potentially eighth this year with how good other teams around have been.
If Vegas doesn't win the division, I think it's a major, major slight against that group. So we'll see how it plays out, obviously.
I have the Oilers, but yes. I think Vegas should be two.
We should do this Team of the Day stuff more often. We're back after this on Sabres Live.